Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
The number of people arriving legally in the U.S. from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela has surged since the beginning of last year. They're participants in the Biden administration's humanitarian parole initiative for people from the four countries. WBUR Simone Rios brings us to the home of one family in Dorchester that's using the program to provide relatives with safe harbor.
It's a Monday morning, and Karen Cesar is walking to the 28 bus on her way to class at Roxbury Community College. It's hard to imagine someone making more out of their time in the United States than this 20-year-old.
I go to school on Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday. I go to work on Thursday, Tuesday, Friday, and Sunday. I go to church, but I used to go like every Sunday, but now I cannot because I work on Sunday morning.
As if she had any free time, Cesar also plays three sports: basketball, volleyball, and softball, and she posts videos on TikTok. But underneath her smiles and constant hustle and bustle, there's a sadness you probably wouldn't notice in Cesar. When she came to Boston from Haiti a year ago, she left her mom and two younger sisters in a dangerous situation that's only gotten worse. Now they're waiting for word on whether they'll be able to join Cesar in the U.S., under a status known as humanitarian parole.
I hope, I'm praying, really praying for that to happen because I miss them.
Early last year, President Biden rolled out a policy to allow temporary entry to 30,000 people a month from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela, known in shorthand as CHNV. As long as they had a sponsor in the U.S., they could be granted permission to fly here and live and work in the country for 2 years. So far, some 400,000 people have used the program. The news was a godsend to Hanania Pierre-Louis, Cesar's uncle, who's lived in Boston for 25 years. He had to leave family back in Haiti when he was just 15, and he's always dreamed of helping them come to the U.S.
It was always a burning desire of mine to have a route to bring my family over because of the constant turmoil and instability in Haiti, mainly to give them a chance to survive and pursue their goals.
In spite of natural disasters and deadly unrest in Haiti, there was never a path for him to bring family here, until now. Pierre-Louis applied days after the Biden program was announced, sponsoring Cesar and two other relatives to stay with him in Dorchester. With money he'd saved from working as an operating room nurse, he bought his first home, in large part so he could host family members there.
I took it seriously because you are mandated or you are vowing that you will provide housing for them and also support them to get them get settled.
Within 4 months, Pierre-Louis got word that three of his relatives had been approved for humanitarian parole. His niece, Rod, is studying English and serves burritos at a Chipotle. His cousin, Peter, works at an Amazon facility in Woburn. And Karen Cesar enrolled in classes and works at an assisted living facility in Dedham. Despite her early success here, Cesar's worries increase as Haiti further descends into chaos. A recent United Nations report blames corruption, poor governance, and gang violence for bringing the Haitian state close to collapse. Cesar says she recently got a call from her panicked mother, who feared it might be their last chance to speak.
Imagine you kind of with your friend in a party and then your mom is calling you and started talking like that because they broke in a police station and they're killing people. There's no one you can turn to. And you're just stuck there in your house waiting for either if you're going to see tomorrow or if you're going to die.
Cesar's mom and sisters are okay, but they're fearful about what could happen the next time violence breaks out in their neighborhood. The so-called CHNV parole program was set up in response to a massive increase in people seeking asylum at the U.S.-Mexico border. The Biden administration paired the policy with new border security measures and says it slashed the number of people arriving at the border from the four countries. But Republican opponents are slamming the program as an executive overreach. Oklahoma Senator James Lankford took aim at it in January.
But humanitarian parole was designed for a situation like what we had in Ukraine, or it was designed for a situation where an individual has a funeral that they've got to get to, but in their country it takes too long to get a visa and they couldn't get to the funeral, and so they get humanitarian parole to be able to come in and get to that funeral. It's not designed to say, y'all come.
Humanitarian parole actually dates back to the 1950s. It's been used by presidents from both parties for a wide array of situations. But Texas and 20 other Republican-led states sued to end the program, saying parole is supposed to be for urgent humanitarian reasons and that it's draining money from state coffers. A federal judge recently ruled against those states, though they're now appealing. Defenders of humanitarian parole say pairing immigrants with sponsors already here, in theory, lifts the burden from states. Boston-based immigration lawyer Julio Enriquez says the program answers the old question about why immigrants don't just get in line.
The people claiming that others should have come by legal means don't realize that there were no legal means, that there was never a line to stand on.
Now, Enrique says, that line does exist. And he says the process also gives authorities more scrutiny over who's entering the country.
They can run background checks on each one of these individuals. They'll see their passport. It allows them to check them, and it also allows them to make sure that they have already a connection, some ties to the U.S.
While the immigration debate unfolds ahead of U.S. elections in November, many Haitians are waiting for a green light to enter the U.S. Karen Cesar's mom, Max Dalla, is holed up with her two children in Port-au-Prince. Because of the violence in the area, it's been 2 years since she's been able to work as a teacher. Reached by phone in March, she said she was counting the days to get word about their humanitarian parole applications. She spoke to us in French, translated by her daughter.
Mes journées sont, comment je peux dire ça?
My days are very complicated. Sometimes I feel like I could fall into depression because of what is happening in the country. The kids do not go to school, but it also gets scared them and scare us in general to hear gunshots all the time, to hear about the violence.
We're not using Max Dalla's full name because she fears reprisals from criminals in Haiti. As I was reporting this story, Max Dalla got bad news. U.S. immigration officials rejected her application. Max Dalla says she feels trapped in Haiti, but at least one of her three daughters made it to Boston.
Mais je sais aussi que Karen souffre de ça parce que
I'm glad that Karen is not here to leave this situation, but I know that there is still a part of her that stayed here with us and that she is suffering.
Elle s'inquiète vraiment pour nous.
Max Dalla doesn't know what will come next. And even for family members who made it to Boston, there's uncertainty. Their stay here is now only permitted for 2 years. The next election could determine whether they get to stay longer. Many still hope to return to Haiti one day if the country can find some stability. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Simone Rios.